So she's taken over my spot for Hazel life as well.
Go on, that's mommy's seat.
Can you get out there?
Mommy's, this is mommy's seat.
So get up.
This is mommy's chair.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Hawza Life, the show where we show you what Hawza Life is really like for students living here in the holy city of Qom.
This is my husband, Muzaffar Abbas Haider.
This is my wife, Sayyidah Fatima Ali, and this is our daughter.
Our daughter is lying down in front of us, yeah. Doha Mumtaz Masuma Haider, and our son, Musa Abbas Haider, who is 3 months old now, alhamdulillah.
3 months already?
Yep, Masha 3 months Allah. Old now. We're shifting again, guys.
The reason that we're moving is because the rent has gone up incredibly high. When you move house, it is a huge disruption. It disrupts your entire life. It disrupts your classes, your studies, everything just goes upside down. Some of our friends have bought houses, and that is the best way to go. If you can afford
it, make sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the money.
This is a cover. This is our cover. The shroud that you wrap a dead body with. So we keep it under our bed. We sleep with it under our beds because you're supposed to keep a reminder of death close to you. Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay, so basically, we have shifted everything to the downstairs floor, and now we're just doing the last final cleanup of the house we were in so that it looks nice and good for the people who are coming next in.
So bad. I don't even know where to start from. That's a little pretty corner.
We only have these big, huge drawers. We don't have those little drawers anymore.
Yeah, so, and open the next ones. I want to show you them.
This isn't closed.
It will close. I'll do it. I'll fix it.
Don't force it.
My mom is going to be so jealous.
Great, we have to explain this. This is the first house of life that we're doing when I'm in a mama.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There may come a time when you're being a Hazza student that you feel like you're ready. That moment came upon me a couple of months back. I went to my teacher and I said, look, I feel like I'm ready and I can adopt this great burden, because it is a great burden, a great responsibility. When you adopt the libas, the clothing and the attire of a scholar, you pretty much start to be seen as a representative of the deen. There can be no bigger burden than that, right? But there also is another side to it where you feel like you have a duty to represent the religion as well. Yes, it's scary, but some people have to go ahead and do that. And the Quran teaches us that it's not for everybody to do. It says that there are a few who should disband from the others and go forth for what? لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, so that they can gain deep understanding of the religion. And these people, generally, we refer to them as scholars. Now, in order to adopt that, I went to my teacher and I said, look, I'm ready, I'm going to put on the libas. He says, wait, just hold on a moment, right? You might feel like you're ready, but are you really? The first prerequisite is this. You need to go and take permission from your madrasa.
Which a lot of people don't do.
I went to the madrasa and they basically said that, look, you need to have completed this many credits. And at that time, I hadn't. And so it was very painful. I had all this happiness inside me. You know.
You didn't?
I didn't. Back
I thought
then.
You did, but then you were just like, let's wait.
No. Back then, I was just...
It was around 7-8 months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was just short. Short, right?
Okay.
So then after that, I waited, you know, I was patient. And then alhamdulillah, finally I went to the madrasa. They give you a list of things. They tell you, you know, you need to adopt this kind of etiquette. You need to be in this way. You need, you know, generally, you know, pray your prayers on time. You know, you need to take your studies more seriously. This is the beginning of your journey, not the end of the journey. So then they issue you a thing that you sign it. And then it goes off to Jamatul Mustafa, which is the kind of the head university, I don't know what you would call it, yeah, the dean of the whole Hawza.
Yeah.
And then they look at your record, then they send it back to your madrasa, then your madrasa approves it, and then they give it to you. So then that's the process that I basically went through.
And then his teacher, his ustad, he came and gave him the amama on Eid al-Ghadir.
Yes,
Muzaffar went to him and told him that I've got my credits, I've got everything. So he said, okay, inshallah. And how many years have you studied now? Six
years.
His seventh year has started now.
Wow, yes, you're right.
Yeah, his 7th year started now. So his teacher came on Eid al-Ghadir, and only it was the day of Eid al-Ghadir.
To this favor, Ali, on the day when religion was completed,
Ali,
look who the prophet in his place is seated,
Ali,
with your name the disbelievers defeated,
Ali,
with your love all believing.
How does daddy look? It looks like a balloon.
So, alhamdulillah, we had the tawfiq to have this done in Eid al-Ghadir, which is, alhamdulillah, the best of days.
Yeah, and obviously some people do the Amama ceremony, they called it, with a lot of people and stuff. So what had happened is the night before we had called just like 3-4 friends, obviously because of coronavirus, just few families, all that. We can't like call so many people. So we wanted it to be done in the night, but then something happened that it didn't happen. And it was just Muzaffar, one of his friends, and the Ustad and me.
That's right, yeah.
So maybe Allah didn't want a lot of people to be there. It's like there's wisdom behind everything that happens.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
How did Muharram go?
Muharram,
okay, so for me personally, because Muzaffar was very busy with obviously Islamic pause, and then he used to come home and practice for his lecture and lecture time, like his online majalises. And then obviously, Rehwar even had said that do what the medical experts have said.
من فرزندم رو دوست دارم. من سرم رو دوست دارم. خانواده رو دوست دارم. بنابراین این مسئولیت به گردن منه که ماسک بزنم و ازشون محافظت کنم. لطفاً شما ماسک بزنید.
من از اون پرستار خجالت میکشم. واقعاً خجالت میکشم. که اونا اونجور دارن فداکاری میکنن اون پزشک اون پرستار. وقت این آدم جوان یا غیر جوان حاضر نیست یه ماسک بزن.
Yeah, some people
are being a bit weird. We're not going to wear masks and all this, but then at the beginning, can I be very honest? It was really hard for me to wear a mask because we're not used to it. So I used to be like, oh, let me just take it off.
Yeah.
But then after seeing Rebber said it, done. That's like the
actually,
end.
Actually, yeah. When the statement of the leader came out telling people that he didn't even, you know, give a command.
He
just said,
yeah.
I would be ashamed in front of the nurses if we're not even doing this most simple thing, which is to wear a mask, right? The day that he said that, you'd go out into the streets, pretty much everyone was suddenly wearing masks.
Yeah, and
at least 70% of people.
Yeah, like at least 70%.
Every 10 people, I'd say 7 people,
as
right?
As soon as he said it, I was telling Muzaffar, because I'm the one who goes out and does all this stuff and all. So I was like, Muzaffar, I can't believe like how many people are wearing masks. Like, oh, 2 days ago, like, no one was wearing masks.
در عزاداری ها معیار اون چیزیست که کارشناسان بهداشت به ما میگن. ستاد ملی کرونا بنده خودم شخصا هر چیزی که اونها لازم بدونن مراعات خواهم کرد توصیه من و تأکید من بر همه کسانی که عزاداری میخوام بکنن حیاات آقایان حضرات منبری ها صاحبان مجالس مدعاها نوه خانها و دیگران توصیه من اینه هر کاری میکنید ببینید اونا چی میگن یعنی ستاد ملی کرونا اگر چنانچه یک ضابطه ای رو معین کرد برای عزاداری همه ما موظفیم اون رو عمل کنیم مسئله کوچکی نیست
بله هیئت رو میگیریم ولی خب با سالهای قبل فرق میکنه سالهای قبل خیلی به قول گفتنی راحت تر بودیم ولی الان به خاطر شرایط کرونا مجبوریم یه جوری رعایت بکنیم که به قول گفتنی به وضعیت قرمز بر نگردیم
پرچم‌های مشکی رو ما می‌زنیم اون عزاداری که حالا با فاصله اجتماعی اگر شد با فاصله اجتماعی اگر نشد هر کسی به نظر من توی خونه خودشون بتونه مثلا اجرا بکنه مراسم عزاداری بکنه
basically it's the 8th of Muharram it's called Shab al-Tasra and it's the Shab al-Tabas and it's the Harram
من فکر می‌کنم که تمام عزاداری فقط توی هیئت‌ها و حسینی‌ها شکل نمی‌گیره اگه قرار باشه آدم واقعا عزاداری انجام بده خب طبعا می‌تونه تو خونه‌ش هم این کارو انجام بده
هر چی رو میشه تعدیل کرد الا حیاتا اون یکم خط قرمز ماست
موسی's first Muharram guys he's only two and a half months old his first Muharram
And the first Muharram, his first, he was born Corona times anyways, so it's Corona times.
Even though it hasn't been a very normal Muharram, we've still kind of put black all over our house and made it feel like Muharram.
هیئت‌های امسال هم خیلی بهتر و با شکوه‌تر نسبت به پارسال برگزار بشه، اما همه بیان پای کار، شهرداری بیاد فضاهای ورزش رو در اختیار هیئت‌ها بذاره، وزارت ورزش بیاد ورزشگاهایی که داره استفاده هم نمیشه الان به خاطر کرونا تعطیله در اختیار هیئت‌ها بذارن و هیئتی‌ها نشون دادن سخت‌ترین پروتکل‌های بهداشتی رو رعایت می‌کنن.
نه خیر، تعطیلی در کار نیست، هر چی داریم از امام حسینه.
Just met a lovely family who's from Shiraz. They live in Shiraz. They've come to Qom for the first time to Ziyarat, and they watch Hawza Live, and they really wanted to meet us. So we've been spending time with them for around an hour and a half, and some lovely time spent with them, talking about lots of things, answering their questions.
هر که همه حیات برگزار بشه، ولی با محدودیت جمعیت. مثلا واقعا جمعیت بیان تو حیات، ولی با فاصله اجتماعی رو حتما رعایت بکنن.
Lots of people might be feeling depressed, sad, lonely. You didn't get that proper Muharram experience. Don't worry about it, you know. There are still other ways that you can experience Muharram. Check out this biscuit, inshallah, where we talk about different strategies, different things that we can still do. Remember, we still have up until Arba'een time. And for just subsequent, any Shahadat days that come up, there are still things that we can do, and they can be equally as effective, if not more effective at times.
One good thing has happened though, that I was thinking, like for example, I think your mama was saying, before we used to go to one majalis and benefit from one scholar. Now, because there are so many Zoom online majalises, people are going continuously, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so they're actually benefiting from lots of scholars and they're getting more knowledge actually.
The world is opening up, and now you have access to lots of different people. Before it used to be one community, one speaker, you know, and everybody else was isolated. But now the world is coming together, and this inevitably is leading up to the zuhur of our Qa'im al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, the beautiful hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salam, which tells us that knowledge will appear in a land called Qom, and from there it will reach everybody on earth until nobody remains who is unaware of the religion, even the women at home. Dear viewers, if you're watching this right now, you could be the fulfillment of this prophecy.
So that's all we have time for today. From my husband, Muzaffar Abbas Haider.
From my wife, Sayyida Fatima Ali, and from the kids.
Doha and Musa, we bid you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I am your.